Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knazovic here with you on this Monday morning, talking a very disappointing end to the season for the Tennessee Titans. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2, who was getting on my nerves on the Twitterverse last night. Corey, good morning. How are you?
I bet he was.
Oh, man, I was just a stage 9 troll, that's all.
You were. It was awesome last night. Corey, thanks for being with us this morning. Obviously, we got a lot to talk about with the Tennessee Titans. Let's just start with the game. What did you think of the game for the Titans against Jacksonville? And how much of an added sting is it when you factor in that it's a 7-game losing streak to end the regular season? It's kind of hard to fathom, given where this team was.
Well, it is, because, you know, they've been so good for years at winning close games as well. And, you know, just, you know, you look back at last year and they overcame all of the injuries and were still able to do a lot of the little things to win the games. And this year, this group, for whatever reason, the little things got them. And, you know, we talk about penalties, pass protection, you know, not that they're that little, turnovers, you know. Things, you know, you like to say that penalties and turnovers, those aren't talent driven, right? Those are things that, you know, you take care of the football, you pre-snap, you're good. Your technique, if your technique is good, you don't commit penalties. And those things got them, because, you know, you had two huge holding penalties that cost you points, and they were both good calls. You know, no matter what anybody wants to say, I mean, Chigakonkwo, I thought that 36-yard run by Henry was huge. I thought that was going to win the game for him, and then Chig holds, and it's a good call. And then you've got a turnover, and you know Dobbs turns it over. But did you put him in the best position in that situation where your defense has just gotten three and outs in a row? I mean, I know Kurt Warner posted some stuff on Twitter that he wasn't real happy with the play selection there, thought that they let Josh Dobbs down. And so, you know, there's some of that. But, you know, I look at that game, and again, you know, after everything they've been through, they did a lot of things in that game to be in position to win. They should have won the game. I mean, the pass rush wasn't good enough. But as the game went on there in the second half, it got better and better and better. And Lawrence wasn't the same guy once they were finally, you know, getting home, and you felt like, you know, they were going to be there. But the shortcomings in the roster in training camp and in the summer, which we noted, which were they needed another veteran receiver and they needed more depth on the offensive line, you know, those all came home to roost. And when you lose your quarterback, it's never easy. I mean, Brock Purdy's don't pop up, you know, just for everyone, but Brock Purdy is also playing in a really good situation, so that helps him as well. You know, there's not a lot of quarterbacks who are going to get behind that offensive line and, you know, be Johnny Unitas. So there's obviously a lot there. but like I said, you know, in position to win the game if they just take care of the football.
So I'm going to throw this hypothetical at you, Corey, that we talked about earlier on the show. Let's say John Robinson – Let's say Adam Strump didn't perform an idiotic in-season firing of John Robinson, and right now he'd be evaluated. And we are, of course, talking today. It's coach firing day. It's Black Monday, and we're talking about Todd Downing. In both of those cases, right now, first of all, would your evaluation of John Robinson right now, which I think we would certainly be talking about, be that the Titans should move on from him? And then same question in actual reality with Todd Downing.
Well, what I've said for years about John Robinson is this: all these misses that he has, and every GM has hits and misses, so he's no different from that aspect. But all the misses that he's had were glossed over because they were winning. And I said, we're going to find out, you know, how people really feel about him, you know, once they lose some games. And we found out they lost some games and he got fired. So, I mean, would I be looking at him? Absolutely. You can't give away two number ones. And they gave away two number ones, flat out gave them away. He's brought in a history of injured players And most of those moves have not panned out so great. Can we agree on that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, other than Simmons, but yeah.
Simmons, yeah. No, I mean, he's it. I mean, and it was like Simmons was the blueprint. Well, we brought this guy in because that's an old Patriot adage, is getting distressed assets, and you get them for cheap, and then, you know, you bring them in, and then they're, you know, that works for you. And I understand going after distressed assets because it's hard to, you know, people just don't give up really good players. So I get all that, and I was all on board with bringing in Bud Dupree. So I get all that, but that's part of the evaluation process. But for me, ignoring obvious needs of the football team, I don't understand. And so I would be evaluating that. And then the other thing that I would do is I would say, you know, before I made a decision on what I was going to do, I'd say, what are you going to do about it? What's your plan? How do you fix this football team? You know, it's much like I think you guys asked me about David Poyle last year. What's your plan? What's your solution to fix this? And if I still believe in John Robinson, if I believe in his plan, you know, we move forward together. If I listen to his plan and I'm like, going back into next year with Dennis Daly as the number two left tackle just isn't realistic. We got to get somebody with a more realistic view of this football team. Then I would probably move on from him. I think this is the more responsible, reasonable time to do that, as you said. But, you know, I think absolutely, you know, scrutinizing John Robinson. And look, I know the run they've had, and I know the wins that they've had, but they've done a lot of things that have glossed over some really bad moves, and they're not in the best salary cap situation. You know, regardless of what Jared says about the cap being real or not, we're looking at roster cuts, and the only reason we're looking at some roster cuts is because there's a cap.
Well, Corey, to that point on Todd Downing, what do you think are the chances that the Titans do make a move at offensive coordinator, even today?
Yeah, I forgot about
that. No, you're good. I've got you firing multiple people today, Corey.
I wouldn't be surprised if he was already fired right now, guys. I mean, being realistic, I can't imagine that he makes it past today. There's no scenario where I imagine he makes it past today.
Well, building on that, Corey, I mean, there's so many things that we don't know in terms of decisions that the Titans have to make this offseason. We've talked about the different paths of, are they going to rebuild? Is it going to be running it back with the same group that they have? And we don't know who the general manager is going to be. How much does the way that the season ended with 7 consecutive losses maybe influence the way you view that if you're Amy Adams Strunk and Mike Vrabel?
This will sound probably wrong and weird. I don't care. Because you know why you lost those games to me. Your offensive line was completely substandard, and you didn't have your starting quarterback. And there are not a lot of football teams in this league who are going to be in position to win games with 0 starters or maybe 1 starter on their offensive line left and onto their 3rd quarterback of the season. And you could argue 4th because Logan Woodside got taken away, and if he had been, he would have been the starting quarterback. There's not a lot of scenarios where that wins. I'm not going to be all upset about that. What I am going to be upset about is, how do we get to this spot? You know, where are the shortcomings in so we don't get to this spot again? You know, so they were 7-3. All right. They were 7-3, and ifs and buts and candy nuts, the Jets were 7-3 or whatever. I understand that, but we all know what's holding the Jets back. You know, one position. You're not going to tear down the Jets, you know, and take away all the good pieces they've got because Zach Wilson is horrendous. And, you know, Joe Flacco's 90 years old, and he can go play for the Colts next year.
Nice.
So I think it's short-sighted to look at it and go, well, we lost 7 in a row, everybody's got to go. There's a lot of pieces on that defense that are good, all right? Do they need some help in the secondary? Yeah, they do. Front 7's pretty good. You're going to get Landry back. You got to find a way to bring David Long back. You know, Monty Rice looks like he can be a player. I mean, that guy's a high-energy player who can bring it. I don't see any reason Zach Cunningham needs to come back for this football team, and you can save a bunch of money, you know, in that regard. I mean, to me, and I will hold to this, you got to figure out your quarterback situation. That's number one. you know, are you bringing Tannehill back again or not? And if you are, you're re-quarterbacking this deal and making it a two-year commitment. That's the first big decision. And no matter what, you're revamping your offensive line, and you got to bring in at least one more receiver, if not two, because you're probably going to let Robert Woods go as well. You know, you've got guys who can play. I mean, I think Derrick Henry's a pretty good player. That's just a hunch. I know Treylon Burks has got to stay healthy, but I think he can be a good player for you. Chigakonkwo looks like he's a pretty good football player. You know, I think you can get, you know, they got a decision to make at Austin Hooper. And I think that they'll probably need to bring in another tight end. But, you know, I think, like, you know, gutting the whole thing and starting over. And I guess if you did that, if you started over at quarterback, that's pretty much paramount to gutting the whole thing, I guess. I don't know. But I just think, you know, saying the whole thing is a failure is ridiculous.
Well, yeah. Now, but what you just laid out there, Corey, is a retool. And I guess you lay that out, and I look at the AFC playoffs right now, and I see Mahomes and Allen.
Now
Trevor Lawrence and Justin Herbert
I know where you're going, and I'm right there with you.
So that's the question, right? Like, all the things you just said, and I think the biggest question within that question is, can you actually fix the offensive line as much as it needs fixing in one off season? But let's say,
well, the Kansas City Chiefs released four starters to get Patrick Mahomes, his new deal. They placed four starters in 1 year, and it was ugly for a half a season, but they got it together. If you get the right people and you got the right coach, you can get some big bodies in there, certainly to be better than what they have this year.
So that retooled team, because to me, if you're doing that, then you're saying this team can compete in the AFC. Can it?
Well, I think the big question is quarterback, because I think you bring up the ultimate point, is that you've got Herbert, Mahomes, Allen, Burrows, and those guys are all awesome, right? I mean, and that's what you're looking at. That's what Belichick's looking at. That's what the Jets are looking at. That's what everybody in the AFC is looking at. And they're looking at their guy saying, can we possibly compete with these guys with our guy? And, you know, so if you go into the draft thinking, well, maybe if we get, you know, Will Levis, will that work at 11? Is that possible? You can't go in guessing. You can't. You got to be thinking, this guy's the stuff, all right? And you know, just plugging in Derek Carr doesn't solve it, all right? You know, we've seen what Derek Carr is. He's not on the level of those guys. So if you're asking me if you would bundle picks to go after the number one pick, yeah, I would. If I could come up with a stomachable deal, and I thought that Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud was the stuff, and was going to put me on a level with those guys, I would absolutely do it, because it is much easier to replace a left guard at another spot than it is a franchise quarterback, okay? And so, you know, that's why I say the biggest question they have is quarterback. You know, Tannehill can play, but what was the name of the quarterback in draft day?
Oh, gosh. The dude from Wisconsin.
Brian Fry or something like that.
God, what was his name? Somebody, yeah. The text line eviscerate us.
Yeah. He's kind of that guy. You know, we think he can play, but they've never really won anything. And, you know, now he's coming back from injury. And that's the thing. We don't know how bad this ankle is. We don't know how much recovery he's going to take, you know, in the off season. So I think that's the number one question is, how do you compete at that position? Because in the AFC, you're not just – here's the really scary part. You're not just loaded at quarterback in the AFC. You're loaded with young quarterbacks who are going to be there for at least another 10 years. I mean, it is like – it's like waking up to a nightmare at 1 in the morning and knowing as soon as you go back to sleep, it's going to be right back there again.
Yep, it's a really tough spot to be in. Corey, great stuff as always. Really fascinated to see what Vrabel has to say today, and we're in for – one heck of an offseason for the Tennessee Titans. Thanks for being with us.
Okay, and you know what? I know I'm not just going to rail on the Packers.
Yeah, you are.
Because today is a great day. But I think it's funny how the three of us have this discussion all season long, and I know Joe says he hates the Lions, but I'm not going to let him off the hook. All three of our teams missed the playoffs. And not only does my team miss the playoffs, we're picking first.
That is true.
It's amazing. Bear down.
It's amazing. Thanks, Corey. Appreciate you.
Hey, Corey. All right. It was glorious last night. So, Joe, cheers to you. I think I owe you a bottle of champagne for your non-Lions.
Yeah, thanks.
Oh, I'll take it.
Appreciate it. Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Yeah, man, it's just the tough part about this business, the tough part about losing the last game of the year, especially, you know, in the win and end type situation. Like you said, we used to, you know, putting that T-shirt and hat on, so it's just tough, man. But like you said, it's the way the business go. A lot of guys not going to be here. Some guys will be back, but who knows, man. It's going to be a lot of questions that need to be answered with this franchise, period. So we'll see what happens for the next few months.
That was Kevin Byard after the game on Saturday. The Titans fall 20-16 at the hands of the Jacksonville Jags, and they lose 7 in a row to close out the regular season. Interesting stuff from Byard there. There'll be a lot of questions that need to be answered with this franchise, was the quote that Kevin Byard threw out there. So obviously, he's right. There's a lot that's going to have to happen with the Titans this offseason, and who knows, maybe some of those questions start to be answered today, as Mike Vrabel is scheduled to speak to the media a little bit later. Jacksonville wins 20-16 on Saturday night. Joe, you were there for the game. What did you make of the game for the Titans and the loss to close things out with a 7-game losing streak to end the regular season?
Yeah, it was another one of those, kind of like Corey Curtis said just there. During this stretch, they actually, I think, had quite a few performances that were, given the circumstances, were pretty good. I mean, you have to, everything you say about the Titans at this point, it got to, given the circumstances, of course, they were as healthy as they've been in a long time in this game and still missing all kinds of players. A very good effort. They had the plan. They were in position. I thought they were absolutely winning. I thought they were winning the game going into it. Vrabel said he thought they were winning the game all week. He thought they were winning the game all night. I thought the same thing. And they found a way to lose. And that's the thing about the 7-game streak. They've had quite a few, I'd say, you know, decent performances, to at times encouraging performances given the circumstances, but they have become the team that finds a way to lose. And it starts with the very first loss. I mean, just change that and make another play or two, and you beat the Bengals, a team that could win it all, and none of this happens. But you lost that close game, and then we know what all happened. You had some ugly ones, Eagles, Jags. But, like, the Chargers game was, you know, like I thought was kind of like one of those rally-up moments, and so was the last game. Even the Cowboys game was a 27-13 loss, but it was encouraging because you kind of found an NFL quarterback to run your offense for a short period of time. I mean, it would have been an incredible story if Joshua Dobbs could have pulled that off, and that's the thing. I mean, he was the story, I think, for a lot of the game, just some of the plays he was making. And 17 days after being signed off the Lions practice squad, but then, of course, he has the 2 turnovers that lead to 10 points that lose the game.
Yeah, like I thought the way the game was playing out on Saturday, particularly in the first half, like I thought it was a formula that it would be a very Vrabel/Titans win with the way that roster is presently constructed. I mean, Dobbs was playing well. I mean, look, the touchdown pass he threw was a heck of a throw by Josh Dobbs on that play. And then you get to the second half, and even though your defense is playing pretty well for the most part, your offense just can't get anything done in the second half. And I read it off earlier, Joe. They finished the season averaging 17.5 points per game, which only the Jets, the Colts, the Texans, and the Broncos are worse. So just think about those teams for a minute. The Jets and that quarterback situation. We know about the Colts and the Texans, and then Broncos country, let's ride, closing things off down there at the bottom of the league, who've already fired their coach this year. I mean, it was just an abysmal offense all year long, and an abysmal offense in the second half on Saturday in Jacksonville. Couldn't get anything going, and then you've got the fumble, the scoop and score, Obviously, the interception by Dobbs as well. And as you said, that's 10 points right there. And that's the difference in the game. We've talked about the fumble a couple of different times, Joe. I thought the call was probably right. I mean, the ball is moving. He gets it knocked out of his hand. I know he does launch it about 11 yards forward after that, but the ball's already moving. So I think the call was right. I thought it was a joke that they did not take a longer look at that play on replay.
That's weird. I mean, it really is bizarre. All right, call confirmed. Thank you. Extra point. You can't mess up this extra point. Like, of all the trivial 8-yard receptions, you know, did he get the second foot down in the second quarter of a freaking third week of the season that take, you know, 20 minutes to look at? And then in a game that determines a division, you're just one glance at it. Yeah, that's yep. Good. All right. Yeah, there's nothing that we need to really slow down there. Yeah, that's fine. Yep, go ahead. Sounds good. I mean, I hate the conspiracy stuff. It's dumb. Like, the league doesn't say this team must win. But for people who do think that stuff exists, there's some fuel for you.
Well, like, just take a look at it. I mean, they take a look at the most obvious replays for, like, 35 seconds. It felt like that was so quick on that replay. They were showing, I think, the replay for the second time on the broadcast, and you just heard in the background, after review, call's confirmed out there. And you're like, geez. They just started looking at it. What's
like,
going on over here?
Yeah, like the broadcast guys were going to have like a night, you know, go through it. And again, it was close. It was really close. I think they got it right, but it's really close. But, yeah, just snap your fingers. It's fine. So I expect all replay reviews to be like that. To your point on the offense, you know, they did, you know, their first drive of the second half was a good drive. I mean, they went 45 yards. They got a field goal, but then you go, 5 and out, 4 net yards, 3 and out, -2 net yards, 3 and out, 9 net yards, and then your next possession is the fumble to let them win the game. And the 5 and out, by the way, was the pick that was underthrown to Burks on the sideline. So just the same story with that offense. That's one thing that's been consistent. All the different personnel, the different people who have played for this team, really start to finish, second halves of games have been bad for this Titans offense. And that's just not a good reflection on Todd Downing.
It's not. And will there be some news on the Todd Downing front today? We'll get into that coming up next. We'll put into scope the 7-game losing streak for the Titans to close out the regular season and what all could be on the table for the Titans as they move forward here. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. We are live from our 102.5 The Game studio, sponsored by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. Taking your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, lots of things on the table for the Titans. Do we think Todd Downing could be fired today? Mike Vrabel is going to speak a little bit later. We heard from Corey Curtis earlier this hour, who talked about it. He just really can't see a way that Todd Downing makes it past today as offensive coordinator for the Tennessee Titans. I'm not going to say that I can't see a way that it doesn't happen. My expectations are that he will not be the offensive coordinator. That's just a guess from me, not reporting anything, obviously, but just a guess that Todd Downing will not be the offensive coordinator. What do you think the chances are that we see that move made today?
Well, I think there's a chance, but I disagree with Corey. Like, I don't see a way. I see a way. And again, what if it's, look, Mike Vrabel, I'll be Mike Vrabel talking to Amy Adams Strunk.
Okay.
I like Todd Downing a lot. I trust him. He's a great coach. He's great with the players. We had a terrible personnel situation this year. So, Tim Kelly is going to get a chance to call plays next year. Todd Downing, I want him on my staff. So in that scenario, you don't have to say anything today. Just, it can be just Twitter raging for months.
Could be.
Because they're just, no staff changes. And
could be.
I actually kind of think Vrabel might enjoy that, actually.
Well, you got one thing right. There will be some Twitter raging that takes place if that happens.
And look, or maybe it's not even – maybe I'm going too far. Maybe it's just – no. Todd Downing's the OC. I mean, look, go through all the players missing. No, Todd Downing's the OC. The thing about – here's the thing about this that we haven't talked about, because it's like we talk about fans, media. You know, we're over here on the outside looking in, and there would be just a lot of rage from fans. If nothing happens, what would the players in the locker room think if they go status quo? You know, the defensive players on this team this year handled it really well. There was subtext in a lot of comments. It was like, hey, we give up one TD. That's too many. We gave up the play. We gave up 17 points, lost a game, lost 17-14. We can't give up that many points. Like, they never dipped into finger-pointing the offense. But, like, the frustration was very obvious and very justified.
Of course.
Completely. You know, you tell, like, I'm sure a lot of players like Todd Downing, but do you think that the players in the locker room would be excited about status quo on the offense?
No, I don't. And here's the other thing that has kind of been pushed aside until now that I'm just thinking about it. I mean, the DUI thing's not going away. I mean, I would assume if this plays out the way that it could play out, he's going to be facing a suspension next year at some point. I mean, does that factor into this at all?
He could be. He may not be. He may not get a suspension. But, yeah, it's a possibility.
I don't know how you could do that if you're the NFL, given prior history. But, yes.
Yeah, the NFL.
That's true.
Yeah, it's the NFL. But, yeah. No, you're right. And that's something to keep in mind. And, look, it's – yeah, I mean, I can't imagine that's not in the discussions, like, from Amy Adams Strunk as she looks at this situation.
Yeah, I mean, it's got to be a part of the decision. Now, ultimately, it comes down to, do you feel like he's the right man for the job on the field? I mean, that's how the decision is going to be made.
Yeah.
I'll say this. I would not bring him back. He would not be the offensive coordinator if I were in charge. I also think there are a lot of Titans fans, based on responses I got over the weekend, that just think it's a foregone conclusion that he's going to be fired. And I don't know that I believe that either. Like, I do think there's a chance that he's back as offensive coordinator next year. And again, it's not what I would do. I would go in a different direction. But I'm not the one making the decision. Mike Vrabel is making this decision.
Yeah, and it's a different situation. But just remember, everybody wanted Shane Bowen fired. Shane Bowen might be getting a head coaching job here before too long, because he has proven very good at the job of defensive coordinator. Also, he had a real personnel issue 2 years ago, and they fixed it. So it's players over plays, to quote Vrabel. Megan says, Todd Downing gets a lot of hate in this city and has said he's received death threats. He told Maya Side on that he did say that to the police. I know it's never good to lose your job, but he might be a bit relieved to get out of Nashville. Look, the absolute most hated and most blamed and most judged person in sports is the offensive coordinator of the local football team, college or pro.
Oh, yeah.
It's – I mean, I think OC is worse than being a head coach when it comes to that stuff.
Well, just because – and we've talked about this, we see what your play call is, right? Like, okay, that's the play they decided to go with right
there.
It didn't
work, and you're an idiot.
That didn't work. I mean, and, you know, it's a very public – display of your work that gets put out there. So I think there's definitely something to that. I said this earlier this year, and I stand by it now. I realize there are a lot of circumstances that have contributed to why the Titans are where they are, whether you want to talk about blown signings or blown draft picks or injuries, whatever you want to talk about. But the bottom line is the Titans offense has been going significantly the wrong way the last 2 years, and this is a results business. And look, I'm sure in almost every scenario where a coach gets fired in the NFL, you can point to this or that and say, well, what am I supposed to do with this? A lot of times people don't get the benefit of excuses, and I don't think Todd Downing is going to get the benefit of an excuse in this time. I mean, it's 2 years in a row where the offense has been on a steady nosedive.
Yeah, and with him, it's 3 seasons of underwhelming results. I remember, it's funny, because going into last season, Remember, we're like, okay, people are all down on Downing because of the one bad season with the Raiders, but there was a lot that went on there.
Yep.
Okay, well, he has got an absolute Ferrari at the controls here. Julio and AJ, come on, you know. And there were some things out of his control last year too. I mean, the offensive line was, you know, was problematic last year. Lawan came back too early, whatever, all that stuff. There were some things that were out of his control, but still, it's three seasons now of results that are uninspiring. Now, how many seasons do you get?
Yeah,
of that.
It's a great question, and typically the answer is not very many in the National Football League. Now, again, what will it tell us? What will it tell you if we get through this process and Downing still on the staff, and maybe even still offensive coordinator? What does that signal to you? If that's the way this plays out,
that Amy Adams Strunk looks at this as purely as John Robinson, the personnel folks. It's on them. It's not on the coaches, and that she like basically Vrabel runs this place. And again, I'm saying that not knowing, I don't know that Vrabel doesn't on his own think that they need a change. I don't know that. I'm just saying if he's back, then I absolutely think Vrabel will have to fight for him to be back.
Yeah, I think what you brought up earlier is a really interesting point to think about. Like, if you're a player in that locker room, knowing full well that there are going to be some big changes this offseason. I mean, regardless of what quote-unquote direction the Titans take, there are going to be some big changes and some guys that aren't here anymore next year. So you know that anyway if you're in that locker room. I do wonder, what would it signal to you if the coaching staff is just back and everything's all hunky-dory next year with the coaching staff after you lost seven games in a row to close out the season?
Yeah, again, it all adds up to it's all the players. I mean, when you fire John Robinson, it's like this roster stinks. These players aren't good enough. Vrabel asked about these things. He goes to execution penalties, things like that. I mean, the statement is the coaches are great. There's nothing wrong there. They've been perfect. It's the players who are the issue. That's what the statement would be if there aren't any changes. I will be surprised. I think there's absolutely a change. I'm keeping an open mind on wherever it could go. I'm done with the John Robinson in the hot seat. Come on. I'm keeping an open mind. Ultimately, I will be surprised if nothing changes with the coaching staff.
Yeah, I would be too.
Seven straight losses. There's plenty of blame to go around.
It's a heck of a way to end the season. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Let me tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. NFL Wild Card Weekend is here, and the easiest way to get into the playoffs is with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. New customers, join today to get started with $150 in free bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. All you have to do is sign up with promo code ROB. FanDuel has your favorite bets from the money line to point spreads to player props. Plus, you can even combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. The Bengals taking on the Ravens in the first round of the playoffs. I would go Joe Burrow over on passing yards and the Bengals to win. But you can take it any way you want to take it. Just make sure you do it on FanDuel Sportsbook on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Football fans, don't miss out. Place your first $5 bet to get $150 in free bets, win or lose, with promo code ROB. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable free bets that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789. Coming up next, time for Preds Pick to Click. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. If you guess the goal score for the Predators tonight, you'll win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We'll do that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. And it is that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, presented by TJ Anderson, Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. Preds in action tonight. taking on the Ottawa Senators at 6:30, pregame at 5:30 here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. And the standings are as follows. The listeners and myself still tied atop the standings at 9 correct answers apiece. Joe Rexrode with 8 correct answers and Michelle Knezovic with 6. So a very tight competition in Preds Pick to Click. With that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in Mark. Mark, thanks for calling in. Who is your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators?
Good morning, guys. With our high-powered offense, it's such a tough choice, but I gotta go the easy route and pick Forsberg.
Going with Philip Forsberg. Mark, thanks for the call.
That's it. Thanks, guys.
All righty. Mark going with Philip Forsberg in the competition. Michelle Knezovic, you were up first today. Forsberg is off the board. Your pick to click tonight for the Predators.
Okay, I said this last time. I said, I'm going to pick Cody Glass and Tommy Novak is going to score, and that is exactly what happened. I've been going with the young guns. So give me Tommy Novak. Please score tonight and get me a little bit closer to these guys because I'm falling a little bit behind.
Going with Tommy Novak. So Forsberg and Novak off the board. Joe, I'm going Matt Duchene. I'll take number 95 in the competition. You were up last today, Joe Rexrode. Forsberg, Novak, and Duchene off the board.
Is this because the Lions beat the Packers?
Yes, it is.
Retribution. Wow, look at that pick.
That one didn't count.
But. But still, so he has 4 picks on Aaron Rodgers this year. Is he a rookie?
Yeah.
My goodness, talking trash too. Let's see. Yeah, don't appreciate the Forsberg or Duchene picks. But it's not easy. Novak's an interesting one.
I could just go with a young guy, Rex.
I mean, I've tried Cole Smith in the past.
You have.
I could go Parson. Maybe Janot gets off the schneid at some point.
Is there anybody else on the roster you'd like to list before you make your pick?
I could go through the entire roster if you'd like me to go ahead and do that. Parsonen.
Parsonen, the selection from Joe Rexrode. So Forsberg, Novak, Duchene, and Parsonen, the selections in Preds Pick to Click, presented by TJ Anderson Holmes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. Preds going for win number 3 in a row on the road trip. So you get outshot 1 million in Carolina, and then pretty good win for the Predators on Friday night in Washington. Really nice goal from Ryan McDonagh to score his first as a member of the Preds, and the Preds going for 3 in a row tonight as they take on the Ottawa Senators. Speaking of that, you can join us here at 102.5 The Game this Wednesday night at Nobles, located at 974 Main Street in East Nashville, for a Preds away game watch party as the Preds take on the Toronto Maple Leafs. Coming up at 6:30. Come watch the game, get some Preds swag, and also enter for your chance to win tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Again, that's on Wednesday night as the Preds take on Toronto. Joe, final thoughts on the Titans, their loss to Jacksonville, and what we expect to hear from Mike Vrabel today as he addresses the media in the aftermath of the regular season coming to a close for the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, one thing that's interesting about today is most of this show has been about, I'd say, Todd Downing. I mean, how much of this show, what percentage of this show was devoted to Todd Downing? Pretty big percentage of it, I'd say.
57%.
Okay. I mean, I think that's going to be a lot of the discussion. That, just the offense in general. I don't know what to expect. You know, I mean, that's going to be the dominant topic of discussion, and there may be news before, delivered by, delivered later, or not delivered at all because there is no news. That's going to dictate, you know, the tone of the discussion. But it's going to be interesting, and there's a lot to talk about. I mean, again, you know, the other night, I mean, Vrabel expressed a lot of appreciation for the players and what they went through, and I'm impressed with how the Titans battled even through 7 straight losses. But they became that team that kind of just found a way to lose games, and it was so different. The close games record under Vrabel, I don't know exactly what it is now, but boy, did that take a hit down the stretch.
Oh, yeah.
Why? Look, of course, why you're missing a player here, 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 and here, of course. But still, is there something else, you know, that needs to be addressed, needs to be fixed, in particular from a coaching perspective? I know, again, everybody's going to say Downing, but – I think everything should be on the table when you have a stretch like this. And, of course, this is actually a crossroads.
Yeah.
Vrabel used that term earlier, and it didn't go well from there. But for the franchise, with the direction and a lot of veterans and just really like what you want to do to try to get into that top tier of the AFC, you were the one seed a year ago today, and now you're looking at all these teams that have much better situations than you do. That's a crossroads.
Well, that's a crossroads. And ultimately, Joe, I mean, we're going to get to this a lot throughout the season. The quarterback. What are they going to do at quarterback? Is Ryan Tannehill going to be the quarterback next year? Is Malik Willis going to be in consideration to be the starter next year? Is Malik Willis going to be on the roster next year? Did Joshua Dobbs play himself into a position where maybe he's your backup quarterback? There's a lot of questions to answer on the quarterback front. You know, with Tannehill, I would agree 1,000% that when you start listing off the problems for the Titans this year, he is way down the list. He played, I thought, pretty well given the circumstances that there was basically zero pass protection in front of him and his weapons were as poor as he's had offensively since he's been here as a member of the Titans. I think he played pretty well. But it's also a crossroads with that. You can get out of his contract. It's not pain-free, but you can get out of his contract this offseason. And do the Titans want to take a shot at trying to find their franchise quarterback, whether that's via the draft this year, whether that's via a trade that right now I just can't really see right now, but things happen in the NFL offseason. I don't know. But the quarterback position and the decision with Tannehill is going to dominate a lot of the conversation this offseason.
Yeah. I'm super impressed with Ryan Tannehill this year, all that he dealt with and how he performed. But is he the long-term answer to get you where you want to go? That's the only real question. Let me ask you this as the show's ending, but just first instinct, and of course we'll talk about this plenty.
Oh, yeah.
If you were whoever the GM will be, would you consider loading up to move up to get one of those quarterbacks? You're sitting at 11 right now.
Yeah, I would.
You would?
Yeah.
So you're a Will Levis guy, huh?
I would not do that.
Yes, you would.
First off, I think you could probably get Will Levis at 11. I don't know if I believe that he's just going to go in the top five. If he does, you better be hoping to God it's to the Colts.
Yeah, root for Indy. Yeah. You would.
I think
they can go? My question, even if you say yes to that, my question is, okay, so what can you do to get into the neighborhood of getting a Young or a Stroud?
It's a great question. It's a little bit easier today knowing that the Texans aren't going to have the number one overall pick because that would be a non-starter.
Right. Like you have a team now that I think will absolutely be looking to move out of there.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of a more realistic conversation today. A lot to get to on that front throughout the offseason.
Real fast, congrats to the Chicago Bears for being the suckiest team in the entire NFL. Yay, Bears! Bear down!
Way to go.
Hey, listen, they're sitting in a great spot right now.
Oh, yeah. For being the worst team?
Yeah, really good spot. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Chase and Michelle up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game.